This afternoon, if you have your Bibles, and will turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1. I want to look at verses 6 through 9 this afternoon. Verses 6 through 9. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness though through manifold temptations, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, and whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. Father, I pray that you would help us to understand these verses and help us understand that you are there no matter what the trial or tribulation that we are facing. And help us to understand that you're refining us and causing us to become more reliant upon you. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. As you read these verses, the Apostle Peter, as I mentioned this morning, was writing to Christians that were under trial. They're being persecuted because they were believing in Jesus and were turning from the pagan gods around them. Today in our nation, we prayed for our children and grandchildren. Kids going to the public schools right now, oftentimes if they are Christians and take a stand and a vocal stand for the Lord in the public schools, they will be persecuted, because they're not believing in the pagan gods of our day. And really, we're going back to really worshiping the earth, much as the Wiccan religion does, where we worship the creature rather than the creator, which it talks about in Romans. Paul says when people turn their back on God, they will go down this spiral vortex where they are sucked into this whole false belief system, and they worship God's creation instead of the Creator. And we see it all around us. Every time you listen to the weather, they say, "Oh, Mother Nature, Mother Nature." Well, nature isn't my mother. God is my father. Nature was created by God, and nature is not the Creator. It says that in these verses, that wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptation, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perisheth, though it were tried with fire. As I was reading these verses, and then as we were singing some of the songs, I don't know if you noticed, but we sang a lot of Fanny Crosby songs today, this afternoon. And I don't know how much you know about Fanny Crosby, but Fanny Crosby was a woman who was blind and had very poor health. And her whole life, she endured great suffering. But you would never know it by her music. You would never know that she couldn't see, because she often writes about seeing Jesus and being face to face with her Lord and looking into His face. You wouldn't know that she was bedridden and very, very ill, because she talks about being filled with joy in the Lord and her walk with Jesus. And not only that, you wouldn't know that oftentimes she didn't get a chance to go out very much, because you listen to her hymns and every chance she got to share, it sounds like she wanted to share with the world about Jesus, about her Lord and Savior. You talk about somebody that was tried by fire and yet was burnished pure as gold is when it's put into the fire. Most of the rings that you have on, if any of you have got a wedding ring or another ring that would be gold, the gold that you've got is not pure gold. No, because if you had pure gold, it would be so soft and pliable. It would also be very almost translucent if it was pure. We studied that on Wednesday evenings as we were looking at the New Jerusalem with its street of gold. and what that would mean. But the thing is, in order to get the impurities out of this gold, what they would do is they would heat it. And the impurities under pressure would be separated from the gold. And they would float apart. And so that you could scrape off the impurities, and what you'd have left would be pure gold. And the way that they do that is to put it under tremendous fire and heat, where the gold is melted and the impurities are either burned off or float away. And we see that the same is true in our lives. And this is what Peter is talking about when he's coming to the church, and the Lord is giving him these words to share. Wherein ye greatly rejoice. Do we really rejoice in our trials? It's not easy to rejoice when you're in the midst of a difficult situation. But yet as Christians, we're called to do that very thing. To rejoice and understand that God's got a purpose. And the purpose, if we are truly His and are truly looking and trusting in Him, even though we're going through a trial, the purpose that He is putting that trial into our life is not for our hurt, but for our good. And ultimately, it's to be even draw us closer to Him and to be able to use us in a greater fashion than we thought we could be used. We've heard some of the speakers that we've had at our conferences in the past have shared things from their life where they've had trials. I look at David and Carol Hocking. Right now they're enduring, and one of the things you can pray for, it wasn't on the prayer list, but you pray, continue to pray for David and Carol. Carol's health is still not good. And sometimes you wonder, Lord, why would you do this? I mean, they've got a ministry. Carol's a strong prayer warrior. Did you know that David Hocking told us that Carol prays for our church? She's never even met any of us. And the only way that she knows any of us is from what David has shared with her. And yet she prays for our fellowship here. And, what a precious gift to have someone pray for you that doesn't even really know you, yet they pray for you. We were praying for some of these individuals this afternoon. I don't know them. Some of you do know them. But we're praying for them, and it's a precious gift. But why would God allow her to be put under all these trials and tribulations? And the only thing I can say is that the Word tells that we're to rejoice in the midst of them, and that God's using it to even draw us closer to Himself, where we have to learn to rely on Him, because we can't rely on our physical health, or we can't rely on our abilities, because only God can be relied on in certain situations. And that's where what the Peter is telling us. He's saying, wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations. It could also be translated various trials. Various trials. And what he's telling us, what God is telling us through Peter's letter, is we live in a world where we're going to face trials as Christians. Some people have said, how come it seems sometimes like Christians, non-Christians going through their life and they don't appear to have the trials that oftentimes Christians do? Well, sometimes we don't know the things that they are facing. I don't know, how would you like to face the death of a loved one and you knew that that person, and maybe some of you have faced the death of a loved one where you know for certain that person didn't know Jesus, or you didn't have any understanding of the gospel or the fact that there was hope after death. Have you ever been to a funeral where the pastor, you question, does this guy even know the Lord? And the guy that, the man or the woman that died at the funeral, you know they didn't know the Lord. And all you hear is anecdotes and stories about the person's life, but there is no hope. And I remember listening to one of the talks that a man had given, and he said that he'd gone to a man's funeral, and this man had been a Christian, And his wife was a strong Christian, but the place their funeral was, the pastor didn't offer any hope. He didn't talk about the resurrection. He didn't talk about Jesus. Didn't talk about the gospel. Didn't talk about any of that. There was no hope. And as they sat out in the waiting for the husband to be buried out in the cemetery, everybody had left. You know, you go to the committal service, and at that committal service, the guy had done dust to dust, ashes to ashes. We're all going to end up as ashes and dust. And then that was kind of his hopeful saying that he had, and then he walked away. And this pastor that I was listening to, his message, he said he sat with the lady who was a strong Christian. He said, "There wasn't much hope here today, was there?" And she said, "No." And he said, "Can I offer some hope to us?" And he started quoting from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, where it talks about the resurrection of Jesus, and we have hope because Jesus rose from the dead. And they started singing songs about the hope that we have in Christ and about the fact that we shall be reunited there, some of the hymns that we sing. And as they were singing them, he said that he could tell that the undertaker was getting fidgety because he wanted to leave, and they were the last two there. And he said, finally, the guy came and says, and the pastor said, "Well, do you have something wrong with your throat? We're just enjoying ourselves singing about the Lord and the hope we have in Christ." But you see, this woman had hope. Her husband had hope. But unfortunately, that pastor hadn't conveyed any of that hope to all the people that were there. And, you know, you pick up the paper and you read the obituaries, and there's all kinds of people that die every day. And you wonder how many of them are going to have a funeral where there's no hope offered, where there's no gospel given. But we have a hope. And in the midst of all of our trials in this world, because we're going to face trials, because we live in a world that's against God, it's a world system that Satan has put together and orchestrated to try and come against the Lord. And we have an enemy that is, his goal is to destroy all that is precious to God. And as we live in this world, and we live in a world that is tainted by sin and death, we still have hope. And that's what Peter is saying. He says, "For we have hope, and ye are in heaviness through manifold trials or temptations, that the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold." And so what he's saying is, you stop and think about this. He's saying, the trials that God allows to come into your life as a believer are more precious than gold. Why? Because it's based upon your faith, and your faith is being made stronger and purer and honed by all that God allows to happen to you, where you have to look and trust in Him more every day. And so he's saying that we should hold those even more dear than we would gold. "Though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." So if you stop and think about this, Peter is saying here that when we are in the midst of a trial that may be very difficult for us to go through, that we need to realize this is precious, and developing our faith and trust, and it's going to be manifested or revealing itself in how precious it is when we come into the presence of the Lord and we're outside of this life in the trial. The 23rd Psalm, the Lord allows us to go through the valley of the shadow of death. He doesn't take us to death. He takes us through the valley of the shadow of death. Shadows can't hurt you, but the real thing can. We cannot be hurt by the shadow of death, but we can have eternal damnation if we are overcome with real spiritual death. But the Lord takes us through the valley of the shadow of death. Death casts its shadow on us. We physically die, but spiritually, we never die. And Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And he longed for that day where he could be in Christ's presence. But he said, it's needs be, as he's talking to the Christians that are there that he's ministering to. He says, needs be that I stay here to minister to you. But really, I'd rather be with Christ. And I don't fear death because it's nothing but a shadow. It can't touch me. Why? Because Jesus has conquered death in my life. And so I have nothing to fear. And so when the trials come in our life, we don't have to fear them either, because we have one who is greater than any trial that we will face. And he will cause us to be able to be overcomers as we look and trust in the blood of the Lamb, in our word of testimony, as it says in the book of Revelation, enables us to be overcomers that will be overcomers for him. And it says here, whom having not seen, ye love. Now, he's talking about faith here. What is the basis of our love of Christ? How many of you have seen Jesus? None of us have seen Jesus walking in the flesh when he walked on earth. He walked on earth 2,000 years ago, but we weren't here. We've heard about him. We've read in God's word about him. We've seen the prophecies fulfilled dealing with him. We've heard the testimony given of his resurrection. We see the reality of it through God's word and also through the testimonies given and through everything that shows that the resurrection of Christ was real. We know that he was real. He was who he says he was, but we've never seen him. Yet we love him. If you're his today, you love him. You care deeply for him. And it says here, having not seen him, we love. In whom, though now ye see him not, yet believing. Do you believe the words of God? Do you believe the words of Christ? Do you believe what Jesus tells us? If you do, then what Peter's saying is, we don't have to fear. And we don't have to be concerned about trials that may come our way. We don't have to be concerned about this world that's trying to undermine us, because we have one in whom we can trust his word and believe in him absolutely. And as we believe in him, it says, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now, this seems like a rather unusual statement to make on the heels of saying that you're going to be placed in the midst of, you're finding yourself in the midst of trials, but they're a seasonal trial. They're only going to be for a period of time. And if you stop and think about it, even if we live to be 100, it's still a pretty short period of time that we're facing trials compared to eternity. But he's saying in the midst of these trials, it's honing our faith, it's putting our trust, our focus should be on Christ, our love is in him. And what happens is, it enables us that you rejoice with joy unspeakable. What is joy unspeakable? Stop to think about that. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. We've got a chorus in a hymn that we sing about that. Joy unspeakable and full of glory, full of glory. Well, number one, we have joy unspeakable in that we have a Savior, a Redeemer that's taken away our sins, that is causing us to be prepared for eternity with Him. He's developing our character. The whole purpose of enabling us to stay in this world is that we can be conformed to the image of His Son more and more as we walk with Him daily. And this should make us be filled with joy, because in the midst of trial, we can have joy knowing that God's behind everything and it's for our good and His glory. And then the glory that we will bring is the life that we have lived for Him, and we glorify His name, and so that our lives can be full of joy, unspeakable, and full of glory, that is making God greater to a world that doesn't know Him. The world doesn't have answers for people like Fanny Crosby. They can't figure out, how could this woman, with all of these problems in her life, write poetry like she wrote? How could she write hymns like she wrote? How could she witness and share the love of Jesus with people suffering as she suffered? Because her life was filled with the love of Christ, and that she had joy unspeakable, and her life was full of glory that was making God bigger to all those that were around her. Receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. And so he's saying, what do we have to fear? Because ultimately, all the trials and tribulations that we're going for is to conform us to the image of Christ, and it's to bring us to the point where our souls, what? Well, should be redeemed forever. And so all the things that God allows in our life, you know, you stop and think about it. How did you come to know Jesus? Someone shared the gospel with you. How many of you initially rejected what you heard, but God kept working on your heart? And maybe even brought circumstances into your life which caused you to get to the point where the only place you could look was to God. And the Lord even allowed that you might be redeemed or saved, and then He is going to allow us to be conformed to the image of His Son, and then receiving in the end the salvation of our souls. Why? Because what Jesus did for us at Calvary and our faith in Him and trusting and believing in the finished work of Christ enables us to have eternal life with Him and our sins forgiven. And so Peter's saying, trials may come and trials may go, but we have one who's always with us and is using everything in our life to conform us to His Son and draw us closer to Himself. The next week ahead, we need to ask God, help me to see You at work. Help me to, you know, somebody said, well, you know, there's somebody in my life who's just, they rub me the wrong way. They're just an irritant, a constant irritant. And they get under my skin. What's God doing? You ever prayed for patience? Sometimes we pray for patience and maybe God will bring somebody like that into our life, where we have to learn patience. And God has to help us to see that we need to rely on Him to be able to get beyond the person that's causing us all these difficulties, and that we can't make that the focus of our life, but we need to make Jesus the focus. I don't know what God is working at in your life. I see things that He's done in mine, and I get irritated and frustrated very easily, and I got to learn not to do that. And so what's God going to do? Put me in situations where frustration can come, so that He's going, hey Glenn, you're doing it again. You lost your temper again. You didn't handle that situation right again. Why? Why did He allow that when He knows that that's the way I would respond in my flesh would be that way? Because He wants me to not respond in the flesh. He wants me to respond in the Spirit. And the only way I'm going to respond in the Spirit is going to rely on Him instead of trying to fix it myself. And that's what Peter's saying here. We'd be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory when we learn to rely on God, and He refines us through trials and tribulations He brings into our life, some of which we don't like, but they get rid of the things in our life that are preventing us from doing what God really wants us to do for Him. And maybe it's the things that we need to have deal with and are unwilling to deal with apart from those situations being brought into our life. But ultimately, it will result in us bringing glory to His name and joy to our hearts. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that You would help us to understand these truths and help us to realize that trials come into everybody's life. But Lord, it's how we allow these trials to be used by You in our lives and how we respond to them. Lord, sometimes it's difficult not to respond in the flesh. But we're called to respond in the power of your Spirit, even as we saw this morning. And Lord, I pray that you would help us to look to you and trust in you, that we may be filled with joy unspeakable and full of glory. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.